Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you this day. You are a faithful God. We thank you, Lord God, for all those that are watching online, on television, wherever they are. Father, we thank you, wherever they're on their tablets or on their iPhones or whatever apparatus, God. Thank you in the name of Jesus that the power of God would go through your everywhere at the same time. You're omnipresent. You're omniscient. You're all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent. Praise God. You can do what you said you can do. And you said you can change lives and help people become born again. You can change, Father God, a sinner into a saint in a moment of time. Thank you, Lord. You can change a liar into someone who tells the truth, a thief into someone who is a giver. Thank you, Lord. You can change someone who is sick right now and make them healthy. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody racked up with pain, they can be pain-free right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you. Those that are searching to be filled with the Holy Ghost shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Thank you, Lord, for those people who are suffering addictions, those drug addicts and alcoholics and those guys who are having a hard time. We thank you for their recovery. We thank you that they can be straight right now in the name of Jesus, because you're faithful. You said you'd do it. So we thank you that you'll change our lives again, that we'll never be the same after this service again. One more time. We give you praise, Lord, for this service, what you will do. This is a miraculous, supernatural encounter with you. Oh, we praise you. In the name of Jesus, everybody said amen. And amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. I've been thinking about the things about the supernatural last little while. Woo. Praise God. And I would send you guys some notes, but I don't have any. I got too many of them. I can give you this on faithfulness of God, but I have some other stuff that came to me. So I'm going to get you all mixed up. So you just have to follow me so I know you'll do a good job. I will try to be faithful and set all my notes back there so that you can read them when we go up here. But I want to talk about the life of Abraham, and the life of Abraham displays the faithfulness of God. Abraham, you see, he's called the father of faith. He's called our example. And we want to maybe take a quick glance at him and talk about what God did in him. We always look at somebody at the end of their lives. We think that they were always like that. If you look at your own life, how messed up you used to be, and we think someone should change overnight. It's not always like that. I wish life was always going up. Life is never always going up. Anybody ever been down? You ever gone down a little bit on the mountain? Slide back right up again, get right back up? Well, I've never been there. No, I'm joking. I've been there several times. Been that, did that, got the T-shirt. And we see, you know, the life of Abraham in that sort of vein, that sort of way. We look at Abraham, we read his story in the chapter of that we look a lot at, you know, in these days about Abraham being a faithful guy. He was a guy who obeyed God. He did incredible things. He believed God when there was no hope. We talked about hope last week. Anybody remember we talked about hope last week? Yes. There's only three people, I guess. So I'll have to preach that again. last week we talked about hope. And I was so excited. I left here getting excited. I was just excited all week on that message because God spoke to me. And I went to preach on the Wednesday before. And I asked him to give me the recording of that message because I said a lot of things there in a way I've never heard before by the Holy Spirit. And it's prophetic preaching. And I think Jerry here said he really enjoyed it, so it must have did something. you know? So thank God. I like Jerry because he tells me things, and he helps me out. Praise God. I'm glad I didn't go to detox when you were there. But I'm glad. You know, we have some chums around here. We used to hang around detox, not because we wanted to, but because we went there because we needed help. Praise God. We met a whole bunch of people who were not Christians, but had some principles that helped me get along the way. They helped me. You know, God will use anybody. And if he can use an old mule, he can use you. He did in the Bible, right? He used an old mule. He spoke to that guy, and prophet, and said, listen, man, you're heading down the wrong road. And he whips that donkey. And then the donkey says, why are you hitting me for? Well, I don't know if he must have thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have drank that last drink there. But God is so good. I think about my own life and how he saved me, how he delivered me and kept me alive all these years. It's almost going to be 40, almost 40 years soon that I never had one drink and never got high again. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm 80 years old. I look pretty good, don't I? Praise God, it feels like I'm 80. Sometimes you feel like that, but I thank God. I really, truly do every day. You know, I know that I'm one drink away from being out there again. I never forget that, Barry. I never forget that, and that's my story, and that's the truth. And if I went back to using, I could never be where I am today, and God gave me an opportunity to live again. And if you ever been down and out and you want to die, I've been there. I've been there where, there's nowhere else to go but detox. And so there's people that welcomed me there, took me to a meeting, and told me about God, which I hated. I was running away from God many years, trying to get away from him. He's the one that caused all the trouble. And so I blamed him. I blamed God for everything that happened to my family because they said, God did it. He's trying to teach us a lesson. Well, I had enough lessons. And I didn't want any more lessons from God. And so I wanted to just join the rest of the crew and get away from him. And so when I got to where I was supposed to get some help, they told me I needed to find God. And I guess, so I began to hang around with these guys for about 4 years. Until I realized I was going around in circle and gave myself to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Gave myself to Jesus. And then I had some encounters. I had some supernatural encounters with God. God spoke to me coming to the ministry. And, we have a saying in the Ojibwe language. It's called, when somebody asks you to do something, you do it, and they ask you for more. So in our language, we say, kudjigo. That's why you use that word, kudjigo, because you're asking for more. And you're almost surprised. Why would somebody ask me for more? So God asked me, first of all, get saved. And then he asked me to go to ministry. Then he asked me to do other things, like giving my tithes and offerings and coming to church regularly and being consistent, being an example. You know, we all are examples. And so we're looking for someone who's done something and they've made it and they've gone ahead of you. Blaze the trail. And I'm glad for all those other people who stayed sober and who got away from drugs and are sober today and they never had a drink or never had a shot of anything again. And so I thank God for those people. And I thank those Christians who stayed, never had a drink and they didn't want to drink or took anything. But their high is Jesus Christ. So I thank God for those people who show us an example. And I'm going to be forever grateful for that. But I want us to go to our Bibles, if you have your Bible. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to go to Romans 4, Galatians 3, and Hebrews back to chapter 11. And I want to show you some things here that are important to us today for our discussion. There are blessings that God wants to give us. He wants to really, really bless us. And I believe that today you're in line for a blessing. And we can look at some scriptures. I want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 11. I'm going to read the New Living Translation, chapter 8. Starting from verse 8, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and verse 11. Verse 11. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home. It was by faith he obeyed. How many people know that you have to obey to do something? And the Bible says that Jesus obeyed and he suffered obedience. And sometimes when you obey God, you suffer some things for a while just to get away. And so the Bible says that it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he was called to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's faith. You're putting your trust in somebody. You don't know what's going to happen next, but you trust God because he knows the way. He's been there before. He saw that he's called the beginning and the end. He knows where you're supposed to end up. Because he tells you right from the beginning of the Bible what things will happen to you when you obey him. It's always good. And one of my favorite scriptures I refer to in the Amplified Version, over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that God has called us to live the good life. In our Anishinaabe language, we call that, we're called Anishinaabe people. We're the good people. We love the good life. And we have a sort of good picture of God, the Creator. In our people, we call God the Creator, but he is more than Creator. He's more than Creator. That's just one side of God. God is bigger than just being the Creator. He is God Almighty. He is our Father. The Bible talks about that God is our Father. We call God, we call him Daddy. The Bible says he's called Abba Father in Hebrews chapter, Romans 8. That's the closest thing you can call anyone who is your dad, Daddy. He's precious to you. So Abba Father means Daddy. Everybody say Daddy. I like when my kids call me Daddy. At the same time, I get nervous, though. You know what you ask you next. He went without not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, and when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. Nothing always comes that easy. It might take a few years for things to kick in. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. Two things against Sarah. Sarah was too old when God told them about the situation that was about to happen. Plus, she was barren. Not just old, but barren at the same time. That is double hopeless. You ever been doubly hopeless? I look around here, I see a few of you guys. Being feisty this morning. I'm not looking at you. But I'm looking at you. I'm really not looking at you. Bible says, God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. So I'm not afraid of anything like Halloween. So Abraham was confidently looking for a city with eternal foundations, a city designed, built by God. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. Verse 11, she believed that God would keep his promise. She believed that God would keep his promise. Everybody say, I believe that God will keep his promise. Say, I believe that God will keep his promise. So one more time, I believe that God will keep his promise. See, let that sink down in your spirit. The more you say it, the more you believe. You know, people hear things a lot when they're growing up, even as adults, I'll never make it. It's a broken record. They tell us scientifically, they tell us, we study at the school there, and we take brains apart, we look at them. They tell us at the school, when we study different things about the brain, that the brain, you know, it's an incredible, you know, piece of work by God. And the brain will do what you tell it to do. And that's why our hearts have to be full with God's word, because your brain will do what, you know, it's incredible. So your brain, it makes kind of grooves, and it does what it's supposed to do almost automatically. So when we think negative all our lives, it's hard to break that. So we have to recreate something new. So that's what we're doing. When we speak, when I ask you to repeat something, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to help you see the positive, or say the positive, and start remembering. People who have bad lives, they say bad things about themselves, and they repeat things that they heard negatively over the lifespan, and they don't go anywhere too much. But the King James says she judged him faithful. The King James says she judged him faithful who had promised. God has promised something in our lives. And that's why I talked about hope last week. Hope is expecting something good is going to happen almost any time. It could be 2 years. It could be 2 minutes. So, you know, supernatural hope is confident expectation. That's what the Greek says. Supernatural hope is confident expectation. Everybody say confident expectation. When we say hope, we're not talking about, oh, maybe. Hope is not maybe. In our language, everyday usage, we say, I hope so. That means maybe. So whenever somebody says that to me, I know they're not going to do it. They're not definite about it. They say, oh, I hope so. When we pray for somebody and for healing, they say, well, did you get something? You say, well, did you get healed? I hope so. You know they didn't get it. So you walk away feeling sad because you know they didn't get it. If you walk away and say, yes, I did, thank God, you'll see me better soon enough. Glory to God. Now, because God is faithful, Sarah received her promised child. Thank God that you know, God fulfills the promises. He does. Do you fulfill your promises? There's times that we don't. Thank God for his provision. So it says here, she received strength to conceive. Was delivered of a child. She was past age. Old. Thank God we can produce. Even when we're older. You know, I think sometimes we think, you know, I'm too old to do this and to do that. And then it says here, the reason was she saw him faithful. She saw God as faithful. We have to see God as faithful today to fulfill whatever he said to do. We look at Abraham's life. Romans 4:20 says that he was strong in faith. So Abraham is the type and shadow of you and I. Abraham is our example. God used Abraham to teach us something. The Bible says that Abraham, in Romans 4:20, that Abraham was strong in faith. How many people know that Abraham was not always strong in faith? He didn't always believe God. In fact, when God told him something, he didn't always do what God said to do. He did it his own way at times, just like you. We want to help God out. God says, I want to give you this ministry. Then we do everything we can just to try to help God out. Then we make a lot of mess in our lives. God says, oh, yeah, you know, I want you to do this, do that. And then we make our own plans. I like what years ago I heard Kenneth Copeland say this. It really made sense to me. He says, you know, yes, you know, sometimes God tells you something. It's definite. He did tell you something. But we interpret how it's going to be, how it should go, how it should end up, and how we should, the process to get there. That's exactly what Abraham and Isaac did, or Abraham and his wife Sarah did. God told them yes, but they, along the way, they started to misrepresent or misinterpret what God wanted them to do. They had started to help God, so Abraham, they were barren. I mean, she's barren, she's older. I mean, he's old. How long do you expect to live? But so they got tired, just like people get tired of promises to come to pass. How about you? Do you ever get tired of promises coming to pass? So they decided they're going to help God. So, you know, Sarah said, you know what? Hey, listen, you know, this is taking too long. Let's go ahead and let's get, the King James says, go into my maid or have sex with my maid and have a child with her so that you can have offspring. That's what they did. So Sarah came to Abraham and said, hey, listen, have sex with my maid. Abraham said he obeyed. He obeyed and had that little boy. Now he's making all kinds of trouble all over the world today. Isn't that what happened? You read the story. They said they'll be violent all the rest of their lives. Well, you can, you know, look at that yourself. So, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it talked about Abraham was obedient. He obeyed. But, you know, both Abraham and Sarah, I'm giving you a picture right now, what God said at the end of their lives. We read this chapter in these books, and we want to insert ourselves right there, but we don't see the whole process. How they arrived to be faithful, how they arrived to be obedient, how they arrived to be consistent. And we look at our lives and we fall short of that. We say, I wish I could, you know, I was like that. I could never be that. And yet God's showing you this is what you are. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Because sometimes we kind of think things on our own mind. We don't see the whole picture. So Hebrews 4:12 said 4:20 said he was strong in faith. He was not always strong in faith. Hebrews 4:11 said he was obedient. Galatians 3:9 said he's faithful. Faithful. And we're going to see that was not always the case. He was not always faithful to God. God told him, don't go there. He went there. God says, you know, tell him this. And in fact, he lied about his wife. He said, tell everybody that you're my sister. Because you're such a good-looking woman. They're gonna kill me to get to you. So, I don't know. That's a good looking woman. You look 80 years old, man. People after your 80-year-old wife, that's pretty good. That's got to be really good. Unless you got a sick people around here. Huh? Man, she's good. I mean, that happened a number of times in the Bible. Yeah. Romans 4:20 says that he gave God glory. He gave God glory. He was able to give God glory. Sometimes we don't always give God glory. We like to say we did it. We like to say, well, look what I did. Look at how smart I am, how many degrees I have, how much money my business is making, how many fish I caught. My fish is bigger than your fish. My truck is big. Huh? Hebrews 4:21 says that he was fully persuaded. The man was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded by God. He was just, nothing can change his mind about God. But we get people sometimes around here that somebody tells them a little bit about the word of faith and they turn their mind around and they go down the road. I remember when I was a young Christian, believing God. They told me, don't follow Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland. Those guys are cults. Yeah. Christians in this city, churches in the city told me, full gospel Pentecostal churches told me, don't read that stuff. You'll go crazy. You'll lose your mind. I'm glad I lost my old mind. I got a brand new mind in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know, it's upset me. Even today, if you type on a name in there, they'll show different things. They showed all the bad stuff. I watched this man. They said, you know what Kenneth Hagin taught in his life? You know, the life. I followed Kenneth Hagin. I can personally say that this man was nothing but a man of love. And he didn't teach us crazy stuff. It was people who misinterpreted what he said and went on and did other things and blame him. He didn't preach that prosperity stuff that they say he did. He never did. He said, if you obey God, that's right in the Bible. You'll eat the best of the land. That's in the Bible. He didn't say you can just have anything you want. Jesus said you can have what you say. That's in the Bible. Jesus taught it. One time somebody attacked him and he said, you know what? You said that could have anything. He said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. I was right there. I saw that and heard that right in the meeting. He says, you said this and that. I said, well, no, I didn't. He said, Jesus said it. Amen. 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 That's why Brother Hagin used to tell us, Rhema students, Bible graduates, he said, don't say Brother Hagin. Say that Jesus said it. Say that the Bible said it. This is what the Bible says. But we quote them because we quote people we know. Just like university students quote different people who did something and studied things and know stuff. Because they want credibility, and you need credibility. You can't just write anything. I told my students, you can't just write a paper and say anything you want in school and get a mark. I said, where'd you get that from? Give me the quotation. Give me the book and everything in there. In the same way in the Bible, you can't just say anything you want. Find the scripture and verse. Then you have a basis to stand on. Now, Galatians 3:6 says that Abraham believed God. He didn't always believe God. He believed what he saw. We sang the song, like when the lady sang this morning. You know, I walk by faith. How does it go? What is that song again? Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. Come on, give me some more words. I can do all things. I'm not going to walk by what I see. I'm not going to walk by what I feel. We sing in that song, you know, and get outside. All of a sudden, you get scared right away. The first bad thing happens. Bad news all of a sudden. I'm not going to walk by what I feel. Oh, we need $20. What? You know? It gets bad right away. I thought you just sang a song there, Mommy. He was fully persuaded. He believed God. Galatians 3:6 said he was a righteous man. You know, we don't always feel righteous, and we don't always do right. We don't always feel right either. But you know, I've made a lot of mistakes, and anybody here can say if they're honest, they've made a lot of mistakes, you know. But you're looking at somebody who's righteous. Amen. You're looking at somebody who's perfect before God. Why? Not because of that I didn't make a mistake. Because Jesus, according to his word, made me perfect in Christ. Amen. My spirit is perfect. My flesh, I still have to contend with my mind and my flesh. It doesn't want to do what God wants to do a lot of times. I still want to smoke cigarettes. It's been like so many years. A lot of times people smoke around me and say, wow, that's wonderful. I still want to smoke, but I don't, because my spirit has gotten stronger than my flesh. I said, no, you can't have that. Yeah. Huh? I remember, you know, like this is, we're all adults in here. I mean, you know, Fred Price said one time that this woman came to his office and she offered herself to him. And she presented some bosoms to him in his office and just said, you can have these. I mean, this is on national television. He's telling the truth. I mean, he's just trying to show you something. And he wanted to teach us about the flesh and the spirit. He said, you know what? My body wants to. I want to, but my spirit doesn't want to. I can't. See, you have to be honest about yourself. If you're ever going to quit something, you have to understand that your body will always want to do wrong. You'll never be able to completely tell your body to not want something forever. If you have, especially if you've been addicted to something. When I got free from addictions, it didn't take me overnight, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 years, 5 years to get rid of it. It took me a long time, and every day I had a craving. Every single day I craved cigarettes. Every single day I craved to get high. Every day. Some of you guys in here, you want to get free in 3 days or 6 months and say, oh, I need to be free right away. You just haven't grown up yet. Right? Even with food. I see people here, they go up, they lose weight, they go back down. They go up, they go back down. It's an addiction. Ouch. Because a lot of us, we've been addicted to stuff. We know what it's like. It's not easy. So he's righteous. You're righteous. How did you get born again? You know, I remember Brother Hagin told a man, you know, he said, this man said, I wish, he'd been on the street on drugs and everything else. He did all kinds of worst things you could ever think about, a drug addict, somebody on the street living, doing. And he got sober, got born again, sitting in the front seat. He saw this little girl that's 11 years old, and there was a mom and dad. He said, I'd give anything to be like her, to be as righteous as her. Brother Hagin says, no, you know, you're just as righteous as that little girl right there if you're born again. One day he was talking to a man sitting in the front row. He said, listen to me, sir. What are you? Are you a man or a woman? The man looks at him and says, I'm a man. Just trying to teach a lesson. You're a man, yeah. He says, so how did you get to be a man? How did you get that way? He said, I was born that way. He said, that's the same way when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're born again perfect. You're born righteous. And your body will always want to crave what it wants to crave. That's why the Bible tells us, Romans 12, to do something with our cravings, our bodies. If you were messing around when you were not saved before, you come to Jesus Christ, you're sleeping around with all kinds of men and women, doing all kinds of stuff, you get saved. You feel good for about 3 weeks. You want to be holy. You love God. You look at the cover of a Bible, you cry because it says Holy Bible, and you cry. But after that, then temptations start coming. Then you start sleeping around again, coming to church, worshiping God. God still loves you, and you're righteous, but you're not doing good. You have to be able to, that's why the Bible says that present your bodies to God, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable sacrifice. That's why it tells us in the Bible, stop fornicating, stop having sex outside of marriage. That's what it says in the Bible. Right? It tells you all that. It tells you, all those other sins that we think is, the worst sins in the world, like gluttony and all that stuff. Then it goes on to tell us to do something with our minds, to change our minds and renew our minds. And then we do things that are wrong, and we have to go to God, ask for forgiveness, and then we feel bad for about 3 or 4 weeks because we get remorseful again. And then we do it again. And then you do it again and again and again. Never really get to have the real victory over something. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14 says that, you know what? Sin will not have dominion over you any longer. You're not under the law, but under grace. That you can say no. That you can say no. Praise God. I know you're getting a haircut today. But that's the way it is. Sometimes you have to be able to get that. So, you see, the Bible says that he's blessed. He called him blessed. He was not always blessed. We have favor of God in our lives, but it's not always, it doesn't come that easy sometimes because we do something different. So Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1 to 14, he says the reality of it, this is the starting point he had. He began a life and was not, that was not his picture in the end. So he started his life in chapter 12. We see a good picture there. God called him out of a out of where he was, took him somewhere else. At the end, he ended up in a good place. He began with God. You see, where we always, when we start, we don't always end up there. Where you are right now, as so many, we had so many things happen in our lives, right? Where we are right now is not where God was going to be there. You're going to change. Say, I'm going to change. You know. So, God told him to leave his place of familiarity. And then sometimes it doesn't have to be a physical, social familiarity, but it's something that you're doing regularly. Maybe habits is a familiar habit that you're doing. You don't want to leave that. It takes a while to change. And we see a picture of him. He began disobeying God right away when God says, come on, leave your hometown, leave your parents, leave everybody else. Then God told him to leave his country and his family. The Bible says in Isaiah 51:2, in Genesis 12:4, he disobeyed God by taking with him Lot. He disobeyed right away because that's the way he interpreted. And you know what happened to Lot? Lot got in trouble. He had to pull him out of some situations. How many people know that when you follow God, God tells you to do something, you add on something, then all of a sudden you're in trouble? Then you ask God to get you out of it. There's extra things that come on your plate. So he added to what God said. So he did a little extra. Genesis 12:5, he took Lot. Lot's brother's son, the Bible says there. Genesis 5:12, you know, and all the things he had. So, like, you know, you see, he tried to help God out. Abraham went to Egypt when he was instructed not to go there. In verse 10. Verse 12, he lied because he was afraid or had some fear because of something, you know, he had that he didn't want to lose or whatever. So he was fearful and he became very deceptive. Sometimes when we're fearful, we start to deceive people around us. So we have a little picture of Abraham. He was not always that perfect. So we look at him now, we say, oh, hallelujah. You know, I want to be like him. But we wish we could be like him. But there was a process of him in his life to getting to where he was. So be patient with yourself. Verses 14 to 20. He acquired all that stuff that he had by deception. The guy gives him all his gifts because they want his wife or his sister. You remember that? And that guy got in trouble because God dealt with that leader. And he took all the stuff with him when he left because it was by deception. He could have said, you know what? I lied to you. Here's your stuff back. Come on now. A lot of times people take things because they're deceptive. They appear one way and they got something out of it. I don't know. Maybe we should be politicians around here. Go into politics. Making wrong decisions will cost you something. In Genesis 13, 1 to 3, there are some negative consequences for trying to fulfill your own plan. Bad things happen when we make decisions solely on our own natural fleshly insight. So we do things outside of God's will, just trying to help God out. It's going too slow. Not, you know, I want it just now. I got to get this fixed up right now. And so we go ahead and do something a little extra. I used to listen to Brother Hagin. He used to say, I'd rather be one step behind God than two steps ahead. Because being two steps ahead, we always make that wrong choice. And try to alleviate the pressure. And that's why the devil wants to put pressure on you, right? He puts pressure on you. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says that the devil puts pressure on you. Why? so that you can have so much pressure in your life so that you want to alleviate the pain so much that you do something desperately to change that right away because you won't go through the process. And then you get into trouble. So don't make decisions because there's negative situations, conditions, especially if you want to walk with God. Another thing, being in the wrong place can cause negative effects and negative emotions in your life that cause you to make wrong choices. Genesis 13 and verse 7, there was fighting among the people, which can occur when wrong decisions are made. Being in the wrong place. So he was not supposed to be there. Now he's into some fights where he's not supposed to be. How many of you have been into a wrong work environment? You're not supposed to be in that right place. Now you got pressure on something that you shouldn't be doing. If you're designed to work in a certain place, absorb certain kind of pressure out of your life, then you're taxing yourself. God's, you're out of your grace, out of your place, out of your grace. You know what I'm saying? You don't have the grace to carry that on. I've seen some people that go into ministry. They never had the grace to be a pastor. You see that right in our city. They come for 5 years or come for 4 or 5 years and they don't make it. They just stay. They leave. You got to be learning. You got to know. That's why they tell us in ministry that you got to have a supernatural encounter with God in order to stay in ministry. No one can prophesy you into it. You have to have your own experience with God. I'm glad I had those experiences with God that kept me in. Because people talk me out of it. They just about talk me out of it. You're not good enough. You're not righteous enough. Look at all the mistakes you made in the past. How could you ever be a pastor? I said, I didn't ask myself to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I fought not to be a pastor. Worked hard at it. That's why God had to come and talk to me in my car when I'm driving down the road. Because I'm heading to get my PhD and become a full-time professor. And I saw myself speaking in large crowds in universities because of my vast brain power. Giving seminars and workshops on different kind of things that I've studied and giving my intellectual discourse on, different things. I saw myself. I literally saw myself doing it. I could taste it. I knew I wanted it. It was in my grasp. I had the money in my hand to do it. I had the means to do it. Had the opening to do it. I was accepted in the university I was going to. And I was just going to go there, and God comes into my car. And I was doing good. My wife and I were in a graduate school. I had money. The government gave me money to go to school. Plus, the Ontario government gave me a nice scholarship money. I had a brand new car. We were living lavishly. We're going to steak sandwiches Friday night, having lobster. I'm having a great time, man. God comes in my car, says, "You're going to ministry." I said, "What?" I'm serious. And then when I came, this lady came and helped me. I said, "I got too many bills to go to the ministry. I got no money." God better give me a better good salary one of these days because he's running short. I'm trusting God. Amen. And I'm tired of helping God. I've had a lot of experience. I try to have a good girlfriend. My last experience was this. Okay, I'm going to find a nice Ojibwe woman just for me. I searched high and low. Okay, I got to find a beautiful Ojibwe woman. And she's got to be a Christian. And I did find one. In fact, a beautiful girl, and she was a Christian. We met the family, and it was all nice and everything, and it just didn't work out. Till this lady came in my life. the Lord, The Lord said to me, when I saw it, the Lord said to me, this is who you're supposed to marry. This is what I want. This is who I want you to marry. And she, I looked at her note. It really wasn't supposed to be an Ojibwe man she's going to be marrying. You just said a man, you know, and I'm not 6 foot tall. I do have a six in there somewhere, though. But you see, you know, sometimes we color what we want, right? But it was the perfect match. I knew right away. The first night we dated, the very first night we dated, we sat in the car, we knew we were supposed to get married. We looked at each other, you know, we're getting married. That's true. We never looked back. I never tried to woo her into loving me more. I didn't have to buy a certain kind of clothes, didn't have to look a certain way. She just loved me. I loved her. We trusted each other. And I found out I was so insecure as a man when I met her. Some of you guys, you have to understand this. If you ever found something, were you like the same way? He was. I know. Some of us, we have different things in our lives. But you see, I'm trying to tell you something, that we're not always that perfect. You know, we look at our lives. We achieve a certain status. We get to a certain place in our life, and somebody looks at you and say, you know, I wish I had that. You can tell them by experience that you can have the same thing. You can have it better in your life. Right? God is faithful. He is a faithful God. He'll you know, ask yourself, like Abraham, are you in the right place? Genesis 14 and 12 to 14. Are we in the right place where we're supposed to be? Because when we're in the right place, things should, at least, if it didn't look like it's falling to place, it should down on the inside. You should know this is the right thing to do, even if it doesn't look right. Because we sing that song, we don't, walk by what we feel. Trouble occurs usually, almost all the time, when we're out of the will of God. They happen because we're not in the right place, the right timing, the perfect will of God. When you know, like, you know, you could be in the perfect will of God and still have a lot of trouble, but you know you're supposed to be doing it. You just absolutely know. You're not confused about it. Hey, I know I'm supposed to go here. I know I got the problem. I'm supposed to be here. That's where I was when I finally got it right with God. Remember in the 20th chapter, I think it was Acts 20, and I think 24, you know, Paul was having all this trouble, and God said to him, listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem. But going to Jerusalem, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff happening there, lots of trouble, but I want you to go there. Why would God say that? I remember God telling me that personally when I made some decisions. I wish He would tell me some more things, because sometimes I wish, come on, give me some more of those experiences. It's not always like that, right? We want hey, God, speak to me. Come on, speak to me. Where are you? Right? But the Lord keeps telling me this. Act on what you know. Walk on the light, what you know. If you don't have any kind of revelation, there's no vision, no dream, no prophecy, nothing, what do? You stick with the light that you have. Walk in the word that you have. And act on it. And check, if you're acting on it, check on the inside. If you decide to go that way, check on the inside. If there is a light in there, a no or a yes, to say, hey, I gotta be careful here. Or, hey, this is the right thing to do. Yeah. Dr. Hagin used to tell us, I go just as by much as what he doesn't say to me as by what he did say to me. If I don't get a check, I keep going. Sometimes we want an answer. It's like that, right? Written over there, I want you to attend the University of British Columbia. Go to Lakehead University. Attend the college for 3 years and then apply to this. There's nothing like that. So, faithful people always get the blessings. God is faithful. He's always faithful. The word faithful has, you know, maybe, I don't know what it has in your mind, but it has a lot of we gave you some of those last standards last time. It means to be trustworthy and loyal and true. God is that's what God is. That's who He is. He's faithful. He's always constant, and He's always, you know, dependable, devoted to you. It means to be trusted and to be reliable. He is. His promises are reliable. And that's why I want to say this in Hebrews chapter 6. It says that in there that the Word of God is an anchor for us. In times when we have tough times, the Scripture, the Word of God, the promises will anchor us. When all the storms of life are raging against us, we have to have the anchor of God in our lives to keep us steady. And if you're having a trouble right now in your physical body, if you're having trouble right now with your family, a member of your family, go to the Word and get that stable in your heart and believe the Word. Believe what it says. We might as well close with that scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. Do we have a... We don't have that today, okay? Hebrews chapter... maybe I'll just get this on the chapter 6. Oops. And let's, which verse can we get here? 5, 8, 7. Okay. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go to verse 13. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. We say God is reliable, He's trustworthy, He's true. He's a faithful God. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no other greater to swear by, God took an oath in His own name saying, I will certainly bless you and multiply your descendants beyond number. Abraham waited patiently and received what God had promised. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold on to it, them to it. And without any question that an oath is binding, God also bound Himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind. I want to stop there for a second and we'll read the rest of the verses in a second. We see the character of God. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same all the time. It says in the Revelation that He is faithful and true. Malachi 3:6, that the Bible says that God does not change any kind of policy that He has about your life. He just doesn't change His mind. And we see Romans 11:29, the Bible says if God called you along to do something, He don't change midstream and say, I changed my mind about it. You're a failure. No, you know, we fail so many times. I remember so many times that I say, oh, how could God, why did He call me in the first place? Because He knows how horrible I am. He's trying to set me up. Because I that's the way my mind works, see? I said, he just gave me this chance there just to show me how terrible I am. And He's waiting to hit me in the head. So Romans 11:29 says that God doesn't change His gift. If He's given you a gifting in His life, He's always there. That gifting, you got, everybody here has a gifting. Yes. Ephesians 4:7, or it says that everybody has given a grace. Everybody has given gifts. Romans 12:4-6 says everybody has given a different kind of grace. Every one of us has something to give. 1 Peter says the same thing. We're all given something special to serve God with, to glorify Him with. So that gifting, Romans 11:29 says that God does never change His mind about what He's told you to do. He's faithful. He is always faithful. And so verse 18 says, so God has given both His promise and His oath that these two things are unchangeable. Two things are certain. Number one, God doesn't lie. Number two, He never changes His mind. Two things. He does not lie. Secondly, he doesn't change his mind. It's impossible for God to lie. Some people say, all things are possible, God can do it. No, it's impossible for him to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence that we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. If our hope is truly in God, that he is faithful, that you're going to be stable, you're going to be stable no matter what happens around you. That's my point. I said all that to say that. Yeah, why did you tell us before? Right? Are you guys sad or something? Some of you, like, you've gone home and you're all sad and mad and whatever. I'm just trying to find out, like, try to do what God told me to do this morning. It's not always perfect. You know, I stand here. I'm not always perfect with my notes. I don't always have always everything in line, just like some of you are. Here's something about it. If God, he's so faithful that he'll rescue you, whenever you've made mistakes, he's going to get you out of it. Some of us have problems, maybe financial burdens, family situation, relationship, work situations. Maybe we're old, our body's not working. Whatever it is, God, he's a faithful God. He's going to help you out. Is there somebody out there? Let me just get you this and we'll close. The faithfulness of God. We'll start this all over again. I'm going home. So this is. Yeah. So, in Hebrews 10:13, it says that God will assist you out of any temptation. He is so faithful, he'll assist you out of any temptations that you're having. Anybody ever gone through some temptations? 6, 7, 8 people. The rest of you, glory to God. I went through some temptations this summer, man. I tell you, I just had some real bad temptations, and I told my wife about it. I said, look, you know, you better tell your wife if you got temptations, man. There's people going, now, what's he thinking about? And so I told my wife, listen, you know, here's what's happening. And you have to be, right, Barry, you got to be honest with your wife, right? She's looking at you. No, I'm serious. And there were some things in my life. You know, a man as old as me, you say, you wouldn't be, tempted about anything. I know, I talked to Pastor, he never has that problem. He's the main guy I have to talk to. But anyway, God will get you out if you want to help. Amen. They say, some people get involved in extramarital stuff. Says, I fell into it. You didn't fall into it. You planned the whole thing out. I had a slip. I took some drugs. You didn't have no slip. You lied about it. You're a lying thing, you. But God will tell, you know, he's so faithful, he'll get you out of the temptation. Right, Robbie? Robbie knows that. He told me. He's the one that told me about it. By the way, that little girl, she's beautiful. Beautiful girl. She's going back to BC, eh? Is she, are you taking daddy with you? Okay. It talks about in Proverbs 28:20 that faithful people will abound with blessings. Jesus said the good and faithful man, he's going to get promoted. Faithful people get promoted, Matthew 25. Promotion is going to come to you. Stick with where you are. Yeah? Anytime you have a hard time, if you're going through a really hard time and no one else understands you, I don't know, sometimes, you know, people close to you say, you don't understand me. Ever gone through that? If you have kids, you go through that, right? Oh, you don't understand me, Mom. You know, I do understand. No, you don't. You know? And so you say, oh, you know, so you try to smooth it out. But the Hebrews 2:17 and 18 says, Jesus is a faithful high priest. He understands every little temptation, every hard time you're going through. He's a faithful God. He's going to help you. He said he's going to help you. He's going to help you. Hallelujah. Good thing about this, as the last scripture, Lamentations 3:23, that God's compassion, his faithfulness, is new every single day. Every single day, you can count on a brand new set of faithfulness of God this day. It's a fresh day, guys. Fresh week. Let's go ahead and stand up and thank God for this faithful God that he is.